Well, good morning and welcome in now. It's time for Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're going to have an interesting program, set back, relax, and just enjoy the day and hopefully enjoy our program here. First of all, let me tell you that nominations are now open for your Chamber of Commerce annual meeting and awards. Now, this is going to be a luncheon. It doesn't come up until January the 31st, but it probably will sell out. They're making preparations now. This is going to be the 131st annual meetings and awards program that they've had. They'll be also celebrating the installation of their 2020 board of directors. And guess what? You get to participate. You get to nominate on people that will win awards. So this will have nominations available through next Friday, November the 15th at 5 p.m. Just go to the Chamber website, and you'll find it at admin at napachamber.com, and that's the survey, and you get to vote on the various aspects. And don't forget, there is a training and prevention seminar coming up. This is regarding sexual harassment. It's going to be on Wednesday, November the 20th. That'll be at the Napa Chamber of Commerce. They have two sessions, one for supervisors and one for non-supervisor training. And the big event for business after hours, whether you're a member or not, you're welcome to come to this event on Thursday, November 21st, beginning at 5:30 at Kitchen Collective, which is quite an interesting concept when it comes to kitchens and putting together some good meals and all. That's at 1650 Soskill Avenue. So with that said, now let's move into our first guest and welcome a guy named Tom. Tom Tardio is the new CEO at the Napa Valley Film Festival. So, Tom, first of all, let me just say welcome to the Napa Valley.
Ira, thank you very much, and thank you for the time today. Enjoying every minute of living in the Napa Valley area.
Well, we're looking forward to finding out not only about this year's Film Fest, but also let's find out a little bit about your background. So tell us about your arrival here in Napa from where?
So I spent the last 30 years of my life living in Los Angeles area, working in the entertainment industry. More than 10 years working for Columbia Pictures, film and television side, and then at Rogers & Cowan, which at that time was the worldwide leader in entertainment, marketing, and public relations. So have been living down there, raising a family, and having a really great experience.
How did you become familiar with the Napa Valley Film Festival?
So over the years, I've been fortunate enough to go to the Cannes Film Festival, Tribeca, Toronto, South by Southwest, and of course the Napa Valley Film Festival many years ago. So it was part of my job to represent brands and filmmakers and films at all these festivals, but I was on the other side of the formula. I never had to make it happen. I never knew about the complexity of all the logistics that go into pulling off such a high-profile event like this.
And you found out about it how?
So I was fortunate that one of the board members, we have a very, very eclectic group of board members, half of them up here in the Napa Valley area and half of them down in Hollywood, very high-profile individuals. And one of the individuals that I had a very close relationship gave me a call and said, hey, you really should consider this. So it was one of those calls that you get in a lifetime.
Seemed like a natural, huh?
I felt it was like it wasn't a job. It wasn't a career. It was all about the passion of what entertainment, the culinary area up here, which is gorgeous, and, of course, the fine wines.
Right. Well, speaking of fine wines, let's go to Emma Steele now. She is marketing director. And how do we pull the wine aspect together with the film aspect?
That's a great question. So we currently have over 80 winery partners that participate in various events throughout the film festival. Not only do we have films that actually are about wine, our closing night film is the world premiere of Somme TV, Ooh. Which is a streaming platform geared towards food and wine content. So we'll be showing a few films geared around a few wineries in the Valley. But we also have daily wine tastings for our attendees. And then, of course, all of the special events and culinary demonstrations incorporate wine.
Well, Emma, have you been associated with the film festival in past years?
This is actually my 7th film festival. Oh. So very excited about next week.
And how many film festivals have there been?
This is going to be our 9th film festival.
Okay, so you missed the first couple.
I did.
I've been around there. What do you enjoy most about bringing this to the Napa community?
I think my favorite part is the celebration of film, food, and wine. They are very different art forms, but they actually have a lot of similarities. And the film festival takes a lot of care to incorporate the three together so that attendees can learn something different, whether that's a new perspective from a film or a new grape varietal or just a chef's method of cooking something special or even cooking something inspired by film. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite part.
Okay, how does the food part fit in here with the overall production?
So we have a culinary stage where we put on 12 live culinary demonstrations that are...
This is new then.
It is. This is... we've been doing it for a few years, but it's continued to expand.
Okay.
So we have 12 demos, and we're taking our food and beverage documentaries, and we're putting the filmmakers and the chefs on a stage and cooking a dish inspired by that film.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you calling this?
It's our Monogram Demonstration Kitchen.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's get back to Tom Tardio now and find out a little bit about this year. Let's focus on the 9th annual Napa Valley Film Festival. Now, first of all, the dates.
It's 11th through 16th.
November.
Yeah.
Coming right up. And let's find out a little bit about venues now. I understand there have been some changes.
You know, we're very fortunate in this area to have some of the most iconic theaters. When you think of the Cameo and the rich history of what it's meant to St. Helena, it's one of our premier venues. And certainly all these major studio films love to play there. It's 140 seats, run by Kathy Buck, who's just the best at preserving the heritage of that theater. We have the Uptown Theater in downtown Napa. We actually work very closely with the CIA, the Copia. They have a lovely theater, and as Emma was saying, all of our culinary films will showcase there too. And then we use in St. Helena the... Native Sons Hall.
Yeah. So I think that's used for about everything up there in St. Helena.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a unique venue. And I think a lot of the people who come to this area are just amazed that they're not in the more traditional glass and metal. They're in the original brick and mortar that existed in our historic locations here.
Okay. And do you combine with these showings wine? Do you have wine available at these events?
Well, it's a must. And so tastings before, around, after. And then we have these two hubs. One is up at the Farmstead in St. Helena, where pass holders can go, relax, talk, and experience some of the local food and wine. And then we have the major hub at the Oxbow, which is unbelievable. And as Emma has said, supported by so many of our brand sponsors like Monogram, there'll be exhibits and tastings and cooking. And then again, just sit around and talk to your friends.
And where at the Oxbow is that going to be?
Well, I know it is that huge grass area with the wine train in the back and, you know, Feasted Forward on the left and the Westin on the right. Easy to find. You just end up there at all times.
Well, people in the Napa Valley are always excited when they hear about someone famous who has come to town. I know you've got a pretty good lineup this year. One of the guys I've heard you're going to have is Kevin Bacon, who was here recently playing in his band with his brother.
Yes, he was. And he was at Feasted Forward, and that's actually where I had the opportunity to meet with him and ask him if he would participate. He also played that weekend at the Blue Note. And I think him as our Krug, a legendary award, it's just a perfect marriage for us and Kevin. And we're very excited to be honoring him, his tremendous history in film, television, directing, and of course, music, and his love, really, I think, for the Napa Valley area. So we're very excited to be putting on that.
Does he have a taste for good wine?
You know, that's a real good question, but I wouldn't imagine you'd hang up here or hang out here if you didn't have that. Yeah. So,
well, you've got a lady, Olivia Wilde, I understand, is coming. And not only is she such an outstanding person, but her husband used to be on Saturday Night Live. Is she bringing Jason along?
You know, I don't know the specifics on that, but we're so excited to have her because a tremendous personality, well-liked by everybody, and an expanding career that just continues to grow. Mm-hmm. So, lovely lady.
Okay. Can you tell us about some of the others that might venture into Napa during the Film Fest?
Sure. Working with Vanessa Hudgens, who is basically a local native and, again, an individual who has spent her life in music, film, television, and just ongoing career growth and has made some major announcements about what she's going to be doing. So we'll be honoring her, and we're very excited. Blackbird Winery is going to be working with her. And then our last is Jillian Bell, and a very nice young lady who we just signed about a week and a half ago, part comedian, part actress, and we're very excited to have her on stage with us.
We're talking with Tom Tardio, the new CEO of the Napa Valley Film Festival, and Emma Steele, who is marketing director. So we've set the scene. Now let's focus on what will be on the screens.
Absolutely. Just Mercy is going to be our opening night film. This is a very, very powerful film, and people are already talking about, you know, a major Oscar contender. Jimmy Fox is in it, and plays the role in 1980s of a convicted felon. And from what I understand, it's a very, very contemporary look at a very historical issue in our society.
Where will that be shown?
We have that at the Uptown Theater.
Okay. All right. Now, let's look at the different types of movies that you're bringing forth this year.
So, you know, again, what most people don't realize about a film festival is films are entered into competition here, and there have been more than 1,000 of those entries. It started way back in May. So curating the festival is something that's very, very important for us, because we have what I would call an audience-based approach. Looking at our audiences and then make sure that we find those golden nuggets in the selections and pull out films that we think would be very, very relevant and exciting for them. So the culinary track is a group of shorts. And again, there's really no festival that can put together that type of component. We're very lucky, of course, to be right here with the CIA, and there's a tremendous growth and interest in anything culinary. If you look at the evolution of Food Network Cooking Channel, who would know that millennials and adults are now interested in talking about film?
Mm-hmm. Have you had an opportunity to view many of the films yourself?
The studio films come to us literally the day or two before, so I have not seen, and most of those will be in theaters within the next 30 to 60 days. There is one film that I was close to. It's called Elsewhere. It'll have its premiere here at the Napa Valley Festival, and it stars Bo Bridges and Parker Posey, and it's just got a really, really funny contemporary perspective. It's very.
What's the theme in that one?
You know, it's the typical theme of a young guy who's out of love and then falls back in love. His mom and dad that are around.
This is with the same person?
Yeah. This is a very good point. Yeah. No. And so I just find it to be a very contemporary love story.
Okay. Now, off screen, you have a lot of things happening. I mean, the movies are great, and it's interesting to get the first shot at them here in Napa. But what about things that happen off the screen, away from the theaters?
So we're very fortunate to have all these wineries that tremendously support the film festival. We have over 25 wineries that provide product, but also allow us to have tribute dinners, of which they sponsor the table. We call it the Vintner Circle, and it's a lovely evening where the talent, the filmmakers, the rising stars, and the individuals who own the winery get to sit at tables and talk and have a great evening of celebration.
Now, you bring in not only some of the stars like Kevin Bacon,
yes,
Olivia Wilde, but also people behind the cameras.
We are very, very fortunate. There is a film that has a special sneak with us on Tuesday night called Ford versus Ferrari, and Steve Asbell, who is the head of production for Fox, is going to join us on stage, give a presentation about some of the unique elements of producing a film. So that's very, very important, I think, to so many people who are only aware of the film from the outside in.
Well, let's go to Emma and see if she can tell us about some of the special events that tie together with your film festival.
Yeah, so we're doing something very different this year for our Saturday night gala. We are having a gala film. This year it's called I Want My MTV. It's a documentary about the founding of MTV, the founders, how it kind of changed the way television was viewed. It has incredible artists in the documentary, so we're going to show that film at the Lincoln Theater. We have Michael Nesmith with the Monkees, Nancy Wilson from Heart coming to attend and do a Q&A after the film. And then the gala will take place right after the film at the Lincoln Theater, and it's going to be 80s inspired. So that's kind of one taste of something that we're doing to incorporate a special events and film together.
Well, of all these people that are coming in, where do you house them?
At various places throughout the valley, we have wonderful lodging and hotel partners.
Do you have guest housing too?
We also have guest housing and host housing. We have over 300 filmmakers that come and attend with their films and do Q&As almost after every screening for all of the audience. So, yeah, it's definitely a labor of love, and it brings the community together.
We're very fortunate to be sponsored by Meadowood, and it's a very exciting high-end property. The management has supported us for many years, and we do our artist in residency program up there. But that's also where they provide housing for our celebrities. And also this year, didn't want to fail to mention this, but Entertainment Tonight is going to go live from the Napa Valley Festival. 3 days where they're going to plant themselves at various wineries and do live interviews with celebrities. They're going to enjoy all the festivities, including the beautiful wine train, and create a national awareness for the Napa Valley Film Festival.
Do you know which local channels that entertainment's on? All right, in the Bay Area? I know you're just new, Tom.
Yes, I do.
And Emma, do you have any idea? I know I hear it, and so it's on the Bay Area.
It is. I think we'd have to get back to you on that the specifics of the channels.
I thought we want to be sure not to miss that.
Of course.
In particular, it's going to be on 3 days you're going to be there.
That's correct, and they'll be here the entire week. Some of their staff is being housed at the Westin, which is, again, very, very supportive of us. And the other major sponsor that the Westin is helping us with is Rolls-Royce. So we have a car sponsor, it's Rolls-Royce, and it's the local dealerships in the community surrounding us that have been so supportive of us. They're going to provide a volume of cars for our high-profile individuals to be driven around
in.
And we're parking two of those in front of our major venues, so very exciting year.
You have on the agenda Rising Star event. This is kind of a showcase. Can you explain more about that?
This is one of the more exciting areas, and it is literally what it says it is. Our scouting of what's happening in Hollywood, reaching out to the management and the publicists of some of the people that we see, their careers are just gems in the making. And we talk to them and we say, listen, we'd like to honor you up here and put you into panels with other filmmakers and use it as an education, learning, but also an exciting experience. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting about this is when you open up that guidebook year after year and you see some of the rising stars that we found 5 years ago, they truly have hit that status of doing extremely well in film and television, even in some in music.
Yeah, well, that's something to look forward to. We're focusing now on the 9th annual Napa Valley Film Festival with the new CEO, Tom Tardio. And let's go to the marketing director again, Emma Steele, and she can tell us a bit about how our listeners can secure tickets and the different categories of tickets that are available this year.
So I'm going to tell everyone who's listening to go to NapaValleyFilmFest.org. That's our website. And there you can go and view the different pass options and ticket options we have available. If you're interested in going to the festival for the full 5 days, we do have a 5-day pass option. If you can only come for the weekend, we also have a 3-day pass and then a ticket bundle. We call that the Flex Pass, which is 5 film screenings. You can use it at any time. And that also gets you into what we call our wine intermissions, which are daily wine tastings.
Now that can you take somebody with you, and that would count as two or not, or is that for an individual?
It's usually just for one individual.
Okay. Okay. What can you tell us about this year? Let's go back to Tom, and maybe you can tell us about the Variety that you're going to be featuring.
Yes, Variety is a major international trade publication to the entertainment industry, located in Los Angeles. And Steve Gatos, who is the publisher and CEO down there, has decided that he wants to launch their new magazine insert. It's called Vivant, and just by the name, you can tell it's that whole richness of culture and film and music and television and lifestyle. And so he's decided to launch it as part of our festival.
Wow.
At the Archer top floor. There'll be a cocktail reception, and he's bringing some talent with him, and it's going to be a very, very exciting activity. And then they're staying on for one more day. They're going to do film to table. Film to table, just by definition, is, again, going back to these lovely small films that exist out there, having a chef and a winery involved in talking about how this all blends together.
Doesn't seem like you're lacking at all for the talent showing up at these events.
You know, we're very, very fortunate. First of all, we're very close to a lot of talent. We have a rich history, and they respect a lot of the activities that we put together. We're very sensitive to their needs and the needs of their publicists. And we have some, you know, fabulous venues to come up here and play.
Well, you talked about magazines. What about this Friday magazine? You have any background information on that? Or not? Or
Friday?
Was there a special magazine coming out called Friday? Or maybe I'm off base there.
No, I think it's the Variety Vivant launch.
Was what I was thinking about. But we do, since we're back to Emma now, a new panel series that's going to be with this year's program.
Yeah, so in an effort to expand our food and wine offerings, we are creating what we're calling the Blending Lab, which is taking place at Farmstead. And it's going to be a series of 6 panels that incorporate the 3 components of the festival, film, food, and wine. Mm-hmm. Those take place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One at 12 and one at 2 every day. Just to give you a little bit of background on what this is going to be, for example, we're doing a panel called Women in Film on Women in Wine. We're bringing in actors, producers, and directors attending the festival, and also female winemakers. They're going to be on a panel together and talk about the similarities of the industries, what it's like to be a female in the wine industry, in the film industry, and how that's similar and how it's also changing.
Do you need tickets for these events?
So we suggest that you get a pass, so a 3-day pass or a 5-day pass.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's find out more about the publication. Each year you have come out with a really quality publication that tells about the film festival. And this year, it's right there again, but there's a little change. It's not just a handout, because so many of those were going to the waste probably. But this year's a little different format.
Yeah, we're changing it up a little bit. We still wanted to do the beautiful guide, but I think the way in which TV and film is evolving, we want to make sure that our schedule is as up-to-date as possible for our consumers. And in order to create a book like this, we have to do it in months in advance. And we want to be able to have, you know, the films like Just Mercy, the world premiere of Somme TV, and have our schedule to be correct. So that was one change that we did. We also heard from a lot of our consumers that you can't fit a big book like that in a purse or a handbag. So we created a pocket guide, or what we call a companion guide, which is a condensed version of the bigger guide. It has the schedule in it, and you can grab it and go. But more importantly, we really want people to utilize our mobile app. It's the best thing for the environment, and everyone has their phone at their disposal, and you can customize your own personal schedule that way and pick and choose what you personally want to go to and what your pass gives you access to.
In the past, you've had some shorts that have been put together. Do you have that again this year?
Short films?
Yes.
We do. We have a variety of short films, from culinary shorts, as Tom mentioned, to narrative shorts that are based on sci-fi or character studies or comedy. So there's a variety of options, and these films are under 20 minutes long.
And about how many are put together? So you have four or five?
So we do tracks of five to six short films per kind of grouping or category.
Mm-hmm. Well, focusing again on the screen part, this is what brings a lot of the people in. And Tom, what can you recommend as far as the overall aspect of this year's festival and the films?
You know, the most interesting thing that we're finding is the community reacts to a lot of the educational track. We are nonprofits. We support the educational initiatives around our community. And so up at the Lincoln Theater, we bus in over 1,200 students, and we have some really unique films that cater to what is happening in our community. There is a film that is sponsored by IBM called Code in Response, and it's about four technology coders who have assisted all of the response teams. It's very relevant to our community, and they will bring up individuals who will talk about what they're doing to help first responders react to everything from earthquakes to tsunamis in other parts of the world, and of course, the fires that have impacted us in Southern and Northern California.
And you can go to your website and find out about each of these films.
That's correct. We also have a handful of films, Code and Response being one of them, where you can purchase an individual ticket to that film for $25 in advance.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to get these things in advance, too. Does that alleviate standing in line or what?
The $25 ticket does give you, guaranteed access if you purchase that ahead of time. And then we also have our patron circle, which Tom can talk a little bit more about. But that pass allows you to not wait in a consumer line and just walk through the door.
All right. Well, let's focus on this patron circle.
Certainly. It's a membership program, but basically our highest members, the ones who have really provided financial support for us over many years, are in this circle called patrons, and we have various levels of that. And it's a full-year program in which they get access to all of the activities that the Cinema Napa Valley provides. Mm-hmm. These people come with their heart, they come with their funds, and they love the activities that they are involved in, and they're truly supportive of the underlying theme of an educational outreach program. More importantly, a lot of people don't understand that our office is relatively small, but all of a sudden it inflates by more than 300 people because the community of Napa Valley supports us tremendously. They are ringmasters, theater managers. They get involved in hospitality and balloting and just about everything. And when I see them come into the office and they understand their roles, so many of them have been doing them year after year, they're so enthusiastically involved for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're of every age bracket. And so it feels so warm to see the support from these people. And ironically, whenever you see all this, it's Whole Foods that helps supply just sort of that nice lunch support for this massive army of people that we have.
How does somebody go about volunteering?
You know, it's just an email outreach, and we have several people that communicate and work with that over the year. And, we want all the help we can get, basically.
Okay. Now, before we wrap it up, I want to get your vision. As you're coming in, you're the new CEO. Do you have visions in the future as far as the Napa Valley Film Festival?
I do, Ira. I'm very excited about what I'm looking at, and I've only been here for 4 months. And I've learned a lot, and the community is so supportive. But I've also put in front of our very high-profile board what I call a 2020 vision plan. We really want to think of our efforts here as being 12 months, not just to be known for a great film festival, highly ranked film festival. We want to do more. We want to have other activities interspersed throughout the year that are sort of snack-sized formats of what they experience in the depth of the film festival. So we're putting that plan together. We're seeking the necessary funding to do that. And we're very excited about some of the themes that we'll be touching on in the upcoming months.
Well, great.
So it's work in progress.
Sounds wonderful. Well,
yes.
Emma Steele, as the marketing director, how has the reception been to the different sponsors coming to the event?
It's incredible. I think our sponsors are so supportive of what we're doing here, especially the combination of film, food, and wine, having partners like Monogram, DeLonghi, Whole Foods, knowing that it's about the chefs, the winemakers, the filmmakers coming. Everyone is supportive, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of all of the various sponsors that help us make the theaters possible or the panel series possible.
And 25 of Napa Valley quality wineries.
Exactly, that Vintner Circle. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, any final comments, Tom Tardio, about either this year or encouragement for people to come on out to the film festival?
Absolutely. This is about having fun. This is about supporting the educational initiative. And this is about looking at Napa from a very, very unique perspective. So whether you're from San Francisco, Sacramento, or from Southern California, there's just no other festival that you can get this dynamic of experiences. If you live downtown Napa, participate, enjoy your passes, and see some unbelievable films that you won't see anywhere else.
Hey, it's exciting.
Yes, it is. Very exciting.
All right. Well, thank you very much for finding time to come in and share with us. Tom Tardio, the new CEO, and Emma Steele, the marketing director for the 9th annual Napa Valley Film Festival, coming November the 13th through the 17th in Napa.
You're in tune with KVON, 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com.
All right, welcome back in. Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. Transcendence. Have you heard of that? This is one of the wonderful things we have near the Napa Valley. And they're going to be presenting a program called Broadway Holiday Spectacular. And we're fortunate to have one of the founders, one of the three that put this all together, put it in motion, Stephen Stubbins. And Stephen, since we last talked to you, you have added to the family. You got married. So congratulations.
I have. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're best known for our Broadway Under the Stars concert. In our second season of Broadway Under the Stars, I met this amazing woman next to me, Libby Servais.
Hi.
She's a Broadway performer who came out to perform for us, and we fell in love, and then we just got married in August.
Well, good. So, Libby, what are some of the things that you have done then as far as performance-wise?
I've worked in New York for over 10 years, I think, mostly doing the musical Wicked on Broadway. And a few other shows.
What part did you play in Wicked?
Glinda, the Good Witch.
Good. Yeah. And then, so how did you happen to come in contact with Transcendence?
Well, so I was in between shows. I was coming from doing Wicked in San Francisco and Broadway. So I had a few months off, and my friend actually reached out to me. My friend Carrie, who was in Wicked with me, was like, you have to go out to this theater company in California. And so I applied and I got hired by Stephen and Amy and Brad. And we kind of just became really good friends for the first few months and then fell in love.
Actually, you know, that's easy to do as far as good friends because there's such good people over there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually flew to New York to take her on our first date after she worked for us.
Yeah.
And we went to the Met Museum and just had the most magical time. And,
oh, yeah. He's a good date planner. It was very epic. It was like a full day.
Write that down. Good place, first date, museum.
Yeah. It's actually, the Met Museum's not a bad place to start, you know? Yeah.
Well, it takes a long time to get through there, though, wouldn't it?
Well, that's kind of the beauty.
We were happy to have that time. I don't know if we even looked at the art. We kind of just looked at each other.
Yeah. Well, Libby, what have you done in locally with Transcendence?
Oh, I've been so fortunate to be in a lot of their shows in Jack London State Park and the Holiday Show, their first one. What year was
that? 2015. Were you part of the Chorus Line?
Oh, no, I wasn't. Okay. No. I was deep in the throes of wedding planning, so I removed myself from any shows during that time.
She's been a part of pretty much every season since she's been here. She was here the whole 2014 season, mm-hmm. And yeah. I've done a ton with Broadway Under the Stars and of course, our Broadway holiday show in 2015 as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out from Stephen Stubbins now a little bit about Transcendence. Set the scene. Tell us what it is and what your mission is.
Absolutely. So Transcendence started as a bunch of Broadway performers, or the group of us, who basically wanted to make more of a difference with our lives and our art. It was really about putting service above self, and we couldn't find that in the commercial world and in the ways that we were living it. So we went out in search of it. We did our first project in Mexico, worked with an orphanage down there in the community, and started doing shows. That whole community kind of transformed, and then we decided we wanted to take it to the next step, and we got into RVs, toured the country of the United States looking for what town we wanted to end up in, chose this area, the North Bay, moved up here to help save Jack London State Park when they said they were going to close the 70 state parks in California in 2012, 2011, played a huge part in helping to save Jack London State Park. We do our big concerts out there, our Broadway Under the Stars concerts. And then since then, when we started our first season in 2012, now we've just finished our eighth season. We do our holiday show we've had. This is, I believe, our fifth holiday show that we're doing. Each summer, we bring about 50 different Broadway performers out to be in our shows. You know, everybody from, you know, people from Frozen to Wicked to Mamma Mia to Hamilton and all the different shows. And so that's kind of built the core of what we do. And then we're so excited that the holiday show is something that our audiences have requested for years for us to do before we started doing it. So we did it for the first time in 2015. It was such a hit that we have grown it. And now, you know, last year was our first time doing it at Lincoln Theater in Yountville, which sold out two nights.
Yeah.
And so this coming December, we're doing three different performances at the Lincoln Theater on December 14th and 15th.
Right. So that's going to be an interesting time. You're going to have some competition there, too, aren't you, as far as an ugly sweater or something?
Yes. So Saturday night, that night of December 14th, we have, before the show, we open the doors an hour and a half before the show, and we have an ugly sweater competition. So if you come to the Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Lincoln Theater, you should wear your ugliest sweater possible. But just be careful. Don't wear a normal sweater, because in case you don't know it's ugly, you might still win the competition. Anyway, that's just a joke. Ugly sweater competition before the show on the 14th of December. And then, of course, the incredible show that we put together, which is a mixture of Broadway and popular music and some traditional songs heard in ways that you'll never hear them other places, with that Transcendence energy and incredible dancing and stellar voices and that Broadway talent.
Well, you talk about this being a holiday spectacular. Are these just all seasonal selections? Are we looking at much in the way of dancing, or how is this all put together?
It's a beautiful mixture, and what we love to do is we love to take some traditional songs, many different genres of songs, and do them in new and inventive ways that make them even more exciting and energizing. For instance, this show does have songs from White Christmas and Frozen and things that have that kind of holiday flair. We're also doing Livin' La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin, and we're doing Holiday by Madonna, and we're doing songs from Peter Pan and Into the Woods and Anastasia. And so,
Fiddler on the Roof, so it's not just Christmas, it's all...
Absolutely.
You know, there's a little tradition in there.
if you like Broadway, if you like music, or if you just like entertainment, this should be for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about having so much fun, so much energy, and we have 19 different performers in this show, a new cast, a completely new show. If you saw it last year, the Broadway Holiday Spectacular is an entirely new show and a new group of people, and it's just going to be a blast.
How many people involved?
Well, there's 19 performers in the show, so you're going to have, you know, certain moments that are solos or duets, and then you have huge production numbers as well. In addition to those, of course, we have production staff and, you know, costumes, all that. So there's a great deal of people working on the show.
Libby, are you and Stephen going to be involved as far as
on stage? We are, and it's so fun. I can't even describe to you how fun it is to get to sing with the person you love. It's such a gift.
You do a duet?
We might be.
We, yes, are doing a duet.
I don't know if we can say it yet.
Oh. No, it's a surprise.
All right,
a really good song.
You should come to the Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Lincoln.
You know, on another sidelight, and this is a little more of a sober nature, but your area was hit hard by the wildfires, and not only the PG&E power outages, but the actual fire came around, and you had emergency conditions and all. Tell us about the support that you received and how vulnerable you were.
Yeah, well, we were actually fortunate. Our company was fortunate because we're based in the town of Sonoma. And even Sonoma Valley, there was a lot of concern that if the wind changed, that it would come down that area. But we actually didn't get hit by the fires themselves. However, you know, closer up to Healdsburg and Windsor, where the actual fire was, of course, those towns were evacuated. And, you know, there were great deals of places that were evacuated precautionary. I will say that the first venue that we're doing our holiday show in, the weekend before we come out here to Napa Valley, is at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. And actually, they were closed for a week and a half to 2 weeks. And they actually were using that venue as a staging place for all the fire trucks and all those types of things. They were unaffected by the smoke and the fire and all those things, but they played a big part in making that happen.
And you actually had to cancel the Dia Sonoma?
Yeah, we had an event that was going to be in the square and Sonoma Square. And as I'm sure you guys experienced here very much yourselves, when you lose a week or two right before an event, there was an event, this Day of the Dead event that we were going to do in the square was a combination of working with the community center, with La Luz, which is an organization that serves the Latin community in our area, and Transcendence. And we just couldn't pull it together to make it a successful event.
But you probably were able to pull together the community and the kind of uplifting of the spirits.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we're all about in many ways. So that's one of the best things about our holiday show is the Broadway Holiday Spectacular and Transcendence. Any event you come to Transcendence, one thing that people say a lot is that it feels like their family. It feels like a healthy family. Like, coming together of energy and celebration, people say it kicks them into the holiday spirit. And that re-energization that you're talking about that we all need after going through, you know, power outages and uncertainty of fires. And when you're, you know, that fear and that timidity and that isolation is the exact opposite of what we do, which is we bring people together. And it's a wonderful way for a community to come back together and to feel love and connection and community and to feel part of it.
You know, there's another thing that you do that I want to ask in just a moment, but I just want to remind our listeners that we have Stephen Stubbins and his new wife Libby with us today. They're from Transcendence, the Broadway Holiday Spectacular, coming up here shortly. And we just missed out on the Family Adventure Day that you had at Jack London Park. But can you tell us about this event?
The Adventure Day. I actually don't know a whole lot about it, but Jack London, we're partners with Jack London Park, and they do a lot for kids. Mm-hmm. In addition to what we do at Transcendence, I can actually share a couple of things that we've been up to with youth and kids as well at Transcendence. But that park is such a treasure. If you haven't been to Jack London State Park in Sonoma Valley, you owe it to yourself to take a picnic up there, walk around. There's not only a new museum that they just revamped their entire museum there, but then they have the Wolf House that was Jack London's house that burned down. It's all these exhibits about Jack London and about how incredible of an, not only was he an incredible writer, but he was an adventurer, an explorer, the different facets of his life, how, number one, he came out of poverty and he worked he was a child worker in factories and things like that, to becoming a world-renowned artist. And his books are still read today, and he died at the age of 40. In the meantime, he built a ship to himself to go to Hawaii. He was a part of the gold rush up in the Klondike. He was a hobo, and he ended up getting in jail in Niagara Falls. There's all these stories about how he not only wrote about adventure, but he embodied adventure. And so the museum's a lot about that.
Yeah, well, certainly I know that they talk about the interesting aspects of it, including the birds of that area. Very interesting aspect as far as native bird connections that they have over there. In fact, they tie that together, I think, with a kind of an art escape. I don't know, you may not be familiar with that, but these are things that I've heard about over there.
Absolutely. Art Escape is also an organization there that really serves a lot of youth and people who don't have that access to arts programming, and it's a great mm-hmm. great organization.
Well, Stephen is one of three that started the Transcendence. So tell us about the other two that founded the organization.
Yeah, so I of course, my two partners are married to each other, actually, Brad Sarosky and Amy Miller. They're both such inspirations. Amy was on Broadway in 42nd Street. Brad has been in TVs and movies and things. We happen to be flipping through the channels and sometimes see him, and it's just so exciting. So in their careers before Transcendence, they were doing that, and they actually are having a baby that's due January 2nd. They're incredible people, incredible energies in the community, and as well as performers themselves. Yeah.
Well, that's an exciting time. And Libby, we didn't find out where your hometown is. Where did you come
from? Oh, my hometown. I'm from Ohio.
Whereabouts?
Northwest Ohio. I was born in Michigan, Ann Arbor area, but my family is now in Toledo area.
I came here from Monroe, Michigan,
which
is right above Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're from the same water. Right?
Yeah. So, well, anyway, we can talk about that some other time, but it's interesting coming from the same general area.
Yeah, and Stephen's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati? So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've stayed there for a while, too.
Did you?
And I was on WQTE, the educational station, Channel 50,
back there
for doing some booth work. But anyway, we don't want to bore the listeners with that. Now, we want to find out more about the Broadway Holiday Spectacular and how people can find out about tickets and again about the times for that on December the 14th and the 15th. It's a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yes, so we have two shows on Saturday, the 14th of December, 2 o'clock and a 7:30 p.m., and then we have a matinee at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th. And I'll say one of the really cool things about the event that we do is the way we tie it into the community. We have nonprofit partners that are nonprofits in this area that are featured at each performance that we do. We have, last year, and we're going to be doing this again this year, we wrote letters to veterans from the veterans home that were there, and we partnered with veterans in the area. We partnered with Yonville Elementary School. We partnered with the Boys and Girls Club up here. We did a project before the show with the Boys and Girls Club, and this is all stuff that we're putting together for this year as well. So it's...
we're doing the tree lighting, too, in Yonville.
Yeah, it's great to mention.
What day is that?
Sunday, November 24th. We're actually, if you want to go to the Yonville tree lighting, it's so much fun, and we sang for it last year, and we're going to be singing again. Libby and I will both be there.
Yeah. You'll get a little sneak peek of the show.
You know, we really enjoy having you guys as part of the Napa Valley because you're right next door there in Sonoma County, but Transcendence making its presence known in a big way here.
And making a difference in this community because we feel like this is our community as well. And so getting to partner with these local nonprofits and organizations and getting kids to the show and giving back as much as we can, we want to be more and more a presence here and to make a difference.
And that Lincoln Theater is such a neat venue.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. We just went there a couple days ago, and the workers at the box office gave me a little tour, and it's so wonderful. The acoustics in there are phenomenal. Yeah.
One thing I want to mention, too, about what we do with Broadway Under the Stars in the summer is this last year we did our very first, we normally do big Broadway, best of Broadway concerts where we bring all these Broadway performers out, but we did our first full musical last year, which was a Chorus Line, which was very well received. And it went so well that we're going to be doing another musical next year. So check it out. We're going to be doing Chicago, the musical.
Wow, that's a great one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And in early December, we're putting our season tickets on sale to the public for that. But already it's been going very, very well.
You guys sell out most of the time, too.
Mm-hmm. We sell very well. Yeah, A Chorus Line sold out the entire show before opening night, the entire run of the show. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, talk about success. That's what you guys are having here. I mean,
yeah, and I'll tell you the level of performers when you bring in top Broadway talent straight from New York to be in the show, it really helps bump everything up, and it's been great.
Well, I was just looking over some of the professional experience from, you mentioned Broadway, not only Broadway, but also films and television. You have performers with your group that have been in Hamilton, The Book of Mormon, Mamma Mia, Les Mis, Chicago, Gypsy, and 42nd Street, which, by the way, is one of my favorites because of the tap dancing. That's one of the best tap dancing plays, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love doing tap dance in our shows, too.
Well, you know, you produce such high-caliber concerts and all, so that's why you keep getting people coming back.
Thank you. Yeah, and we really couldn't do it without amazing partners and donors and supporters like yourself, so thank you.
Where do you house these people?
Well, it's an interesting story. When we first got out here, we didn't know anybody. We were just came to this area to help save Jack London State Park, right? So through necessity, we couldn't afford to buy housing. So we had a lot of community members step up and house our people. And since then, there have been these incredible relationships created between the performers and the people in this community who house our performers.
Yeah, when I first came out, I stayed with a couple, and they've now become my Sonoma mom and dad. So they were at our wedding. They're two of my best friends. But that's what happens, is you become so close with these community members. And that's why we Broadway performers love to keep coming back, because we love not only doing the shows, but the communities, like, unlike any other.
Mm-hmm. How often do the performers stay around? Do they stay here just for the time that the show is being presented, or do they come in earlier or stay later? Or how?
Well, I'll tell you, after 8 years of Broadway Under the Stars, and of course 5 years of doing our holiday spectacular, we've had, I want to say, like 10 to 12 artists move to this area. Because they come out here, they've had the experience in New York, they're at a point where they're like, you know what, it's really nice here. And so most of our performers will like, we have some performers who, like one of the women who was in A Chorus Line, she was in Frozen on Broadway. They gave her a 4-week leave of absence. She came out here, did our show, and then she went right back onto New York and right back on stage. So that's the kind of more the traditional route of people going right back to the city, getting back in shows. But I'll tell you, this, you know, people love it being here. And so we've got a lot of people starting to move here.
A lot of the success has to be attributed to people behind the scenes. And in your case, your musical director. I guess she was out in Denver, was there for a while. But can you tell us a little bit about Susan?
Yeah, so Susan Drouse, who, if you saw the Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Lincoln Theater last year, she was the mastermind behind those incredible songs that we did. And she's retooling it this year, and we're doing, you know, a whole new show. She has been on Broadway as music director, and for shows. She just got off doing the national tour of Beautiful, the musical, the Carole King musical, as well as she's worked on Mamma Mia and these other Broadway shows. But she's so inventive. She's worked in Denver a lot at a theater where she's written multiple shows, and she's an amazing energy, but also you can feel it from the band when she's there. Mm-hmm. So
I'll say I actually got to watch a show this summer, and they did a number from Hair, and Sue has such an amazing spirit. She put this long wig on as if like she was a hippie, you know, and she was conducting the show with this long hippie wig, and that's the type of like energy and spirit she has. She's so intelligent, but yet so fun at the same time.
And world class, you know, Broadway music director, but out here and spending a lot more time with us out here working with us.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have her.
You guys don't like on spirit. Enthusiasm. Well, I think it's great. Now, you have been alluding to your connection with Jack London in the State Historic Park, and I think we should mention about how much you have contributed back to the park by raising funds to keep it alive.
Yeah. So as we talked about before, Jack London was slated for closure in 2012. It meant so much to us that we played a part in keeping the park open. But more than that, in 8 years, we've been able to give over $500,000 to the park, $515,000 to Jack London State Park to keep it thriving. And it's an amazing place.
Well, if you haven't been there, it's certainly an experience to go there. And now, before we close, can you tell us anything beyond the holiday spectacular that's coming to Yountville, to the Lincoln Theater? What about next summer? Any little preview or any idea of what we can expect?
Yeah, well, Chicago is going to be phenomenal. That's coming up in June. And then we're putting everything else together. We're doing our Fantastical Family Night show that's going to be in July next year. And one of the things we did that was unique and kind of amazing last year was we had more of the youth in the area had to audition, kind of more the high school age youth auditioned to be in it. And we're integrated into the performance with the Broadway performers much more. And Libby was actually in that show.
Yeah, I was. And it was really amazing because the kids were so they were so attentive to what the Broadway professionals were doing, and they just absorbed it like sponges, and they were right there with us the whole time. And I kept thinking, gosh, if I would have had this when I was their age, I would have been so grateful. But
every August we do a big dance show. So we have a dance show that's called The Beat Goes On. It's going to be kind of dancing through the decades, all the different styles. And then we have our gala celebration at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the phone number. If you'd like to, get more information or perhaps tickets. It's in area 707 and it's 944-9900. That's an easy number to remember, 944-9900. Or you can visit them at BroadwayHolidayShow.com, I guess so. Any other things that we should know about before we wrap it up here?
I just, the one thing that it would be cool to say is that how much education is playing a part of what we're doing. We now have a mobile unit that is going around to juvenile halls and to Boys and Girls Clubs and to Salvation Army, to kids and youth all throughout the North Bay who don't have arts programming. And in addition to doing these big shows like the Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Lincoln Theater, you know, being able to make a difference in the community really is the heart of what we're about at Transcendence Theater Company.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing with us. And again, congratulations, you two.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Ira.
Yeah. And that was from Transcendence, the Broadway Holiday Spectacular, coming to our Lincoln Theater December the 14th and 15th. And we've had Stephen Stubbins and Libby, well, it could be Survey or Stubbins.
Yeah.
Or no hyphenation in there. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
So stay tuned because we've got a lot more coming your way on KVON.
You're in tune with KVON, 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com.